tonight from the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 1. Amen. Well, just hold that. That's where we'll start. Amen. Let me go to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 3 and 4. Let me start there. It'll fit our text a little better, and then we'll fill in all the spaces here in a minute. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 3 and 4. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, Go and tell David my servant, Thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. Thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. I want to talk a little bit here tonight about when the heart says yes, but God says no. When the heart says yes, but God says no. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of His Word. Amen. David is one of the favored men of all of Scripture. The Bible has a lot to say about God's servant, David. The Bible says of David, love no other quite like him, that he was a man after God's own heart. He was a man that God greatly, greatly loved. He was the benchmark for kings. When you read the book of Samuel and the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles, and you read the history of the kings of Israel, it doesn't measure them to Saul, the first king. It always measures them with David. And it either says that they walked in the ways of David or they did not walk in the ways of David. He was the benchmark. He was the king, not the first king, but David was the one that God said, okay, now you want to measure up as a king, you got to come up to here. And so that's what God thought of David. God chose him, didn't he? He did. He selected him. Remember, the Bible says that Samuel went down to anoint a king. He didn't know who the king was going to be. As a matter of fact, when he saw Abimelech, he thought, he's handsome and he's tall and he's strong and he's a good-looking man and surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said, He said, I rejected him. That word rejected bothers me. I don't want to be rejected. That seems to me that means that God at some point considered him. But there was something in him that didn't measure up. And so God said, no, no. And all of the sons passed before Samuel. And each time God said, not him, that's not the one. Till finally he said, is this all? And they said, oh yeah, there's a young one. He's out watching the sheep. He said, well, we won't sit down until he gets here. Amen. And David came in, and the Lord said, that's the one I've chosen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so God selected him. God anointed him. When he was just a young man, probably in his teens, God sent the prophet to him to anoint him, and he took that horn of oil. I've read commentators say that it was about a gallon and a half. It wasn't just a little thing like we do up here, you know, and then everybody grabs a handkerchief and wipes it off. You know. That's not the way. It was a gallon and a half of oil. So when he anointed him, buddy, he got anointed. When he poured it on his head and it ran down his head, down off of his ears and his face and dripped down on his clothes and all the way down to his feet, he was anointed. It was something that David never forgot. As long as he lived. Amen. But it wasn't just the oil that anointed him. It was the Spirit of the Lord that came upon him. It was that same God that he met in the sheepcote as he watched over his father's sheep. And he watched the stars, and he sang his songs, and he wrote his psalms, and he practiced with a slingshot. That come in handy, didn't it? Amen. Because one day he faced the great giant Goliath. Amen. And he said, "You come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts." Hallelujah. And he took that little sling and he let that stone fly and it went right into the forehead of the giant and down it came. Amen. God was with David. God blessed David. Amen. Oh, he went through his testing. Saul hunted him like a hound after a hare. But God protected David through all of that. He was anointed by Israel and later by Judah to become the king of all of Israel. Amen. One of the first things David did after he got a little break from fighting was to bring the Ark of God into the city of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. You see, under Saul, it stayed in Shiloh under a tent. But David said, "Oh no, we can't have that." Amen. He said, "I want it in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. I want it where my capital is. Amen. I want it right where I'm going to be." He didn't want the house of God separated. Hey, it's a good thing to have the house of God in your heart. Amen. We got a building here, but this is not really the church. You're the church. Amen. When you're outside of this building, you're still the house of God. The Bible said we are the temple of God. Hallelujah. We're the house of God. He dwells in us. He goes with us. It's not just about this building on Wednesday nights and Sundays and Fridays and special services. Amen. But it's got to be a daily thing. I want him in my house on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Amen. I want him in my heart every moment of every day. Amen. The last thing I think of before I go to sleep and the first thing I think of when my eyes open, amen, I want to know that I'm in the house of God and I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Chapter 7 of 2 Samuel. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all of his enemies." Now David was a warrior king. God used him to increase greatly the nation of Israel, and that he did. God had told Israel to drive out their enemies. They just hadn't done it. So David was just doing what God had told others to do. So David was now at rest for a little bit. And the Bible said God had given him rest. Everybody say, God gave him rest. There's nothing like God giving you rest. There's no rest like that rest. You ever went to sleep and woke up feeling just about as bad as you did when you went to sleep? Yeah, some of you have. You know what I'm talking about. Didn't do much good, did it? Amen. But I'm telling you, when God gives you rest, have you ever come into a service and you barely got here? You just didn't think you could make it. You were so tired. Amen. But you got to worship in the Lord. You got in the presence of the Lord. The Holy Ghost got to moving. Hallelujah. And when you left the service, you felt energized and strengthened and mightily blessed of the Lord. God gives rest like no one else can give rest. Amen. And the king said to Nathan the prophet. Now, this is the first time Nathan's mentioned in the Bible. He said, and David said this. He said, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God within curtains." Amen. So what David is saying, he said, "You know what?" He said, "I've got this really nice, beautiful house here, and it really bothers me that all God has around his is just some curtains." That bothered David. He thought God's house ought to be better than his house. I kind of feel that way. I'm going to get a little sneaky here for a minute. I said, I kind of feel that way. Amen. I think if my house has nice carpet, his house ought to have nice carpet. I think if my house has an air conditioner, his house ought to have an air conditioner. Amen. I think if I don't want to throw anything on my floor in my house, I don't think I ought to throw anything on the floor in his house. I think if I wouldn't want somebody eating and throwing stuff on my couch, I wouldn't want anybody to eat anything thrown on the pew. But you ever walk through here after service? Sometimes it looks like parakeets have been busy. My Lord have mercy. Amen. I found French fries. Who in the world would bring French fries to church? Amen. Here's the thing. If you need to feed your kid during church, I guess you got to feed them during church. But before you leave, look around, pick it up. That's good, Brother Grissom. I'm glad you said that. That was real good, sir. Amen. I thank you for reminding me about that. Amen. I will say it's a lot better. Amen. There for a little while when we first got here, I mean, I'd find cups. I mean, there's an eating place. What was it? It seemed like I read in the Bible somewhere, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And you've made it a McDonald's. Well, that's paraphrasing. Amen. But I think we get the point, don't we? Amen. If we need to eat or drink, let's just do that outside. Just don't bring it in here. Amen. And if you can help pick something up before you leave, that's always a good idea. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Amen. How many of you like to pick up used Kleenexes? Amen. None of us like to pick them up. That's right. So if you use one, would you please pick it up? And don't leave it for somebody else. Amen. Isn't this great? You didn't know I could find this in the book of Samuel, did you? But it's right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, David said, it bothers me that I got this beautiful house and look at God's house. And so he tells the prophet, he said, and Nathan said to the king, he said, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Amen. I want you to know something. David's desire was right. And David's heart was right. And what David wanted to do was right. As far as I can tell, his motive was right. He just wanted to do it because he loved God. He wanted to do it because he loved the ark of the Lord. He wanted to do it because he felt like God deserved the best. He wanted to do it because he felt like God ought to have something better than David had. Amen. So he gets wise counsel. And Nathan, of course, he's positive and he's optimistic. And so he says to David, he says, all right. He said, all right, get with it. He said, the Lord is with thee. Amen. Everybody's excited. David's got building plans. He might not could hardly sleep at all that night. He started building, Brother Neil. You ever had that happen to you? I have too. I get to building in my head. Amen. And I need to build the next day. And I'm too tired because I've been building all night. Amen. But David got the plans got to rolling around in his head and in his heart. He's all excited. He can't wait to get started. Verse number 4 said, it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house to dwell in? Are you going to build me a house? Now, I read to you a parallel passage from 2 Chronicles, or 1 Chronicles, rather, 17, where the Lord said, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. So what David's heart said was, I'm going to build him a house. But God said, no. Whoa. Why? Isn't that what would bother you? Can you imagine the Lord saying no to something like that? I think I've had some good ideas and got all excited, and the Lord said, no, it's not for you. But Lord, no, it's not for you. David had the right motive. He had a great idea. He was all excited about it. The only problem was it was the wrong time, and he was the wrong man. Wow. Well, that's hard, isn't it? When your heart says yes, and everything in you wants to do it, and God says no. Wow, that's hard. Amen, that's hard. When you make up your mind, and I've known people like this, I've seen this happen to people. They were so gung-ho to do something for God, and God was saying no, but they said, I'm going anyway. That's right. I've had people sit in my office and tell me what they were going to do, and I'd say, well, I don't really believe that's what God wants you to do right now. And they did it anyway. And I hope they succeed. I want them to. I hope they do great. But I couldn't feel it. I really didn't see because of certain factors and certain things. I believe that there's some qualifications that you need to fulfill before you get into leadership. I believe you need to be faithful to a home church before you get out and start trying to minister in another church. Amen. I believe you need to be subject to leadership in one church before you can just up and run off and go to another church. Amen. So, you got to be careful. Your heart may say yes, but the Lord may say no. And he did. I'm sure this must have confused David. This must have, to some degree at least, wounded him, thinking, God, why? Well, let's look what the Lord said. Let's go a little further. Amen. And so the Lord goes on a little further. Verse number 8, he said, now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts. And then he begins to take him down memory lane. He said, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following after the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. So he said, David, I took you from a shepherd, and I made you a king. You were just a runt, and I made you a ruler. Amen. You were a nobody, and I made you a somebody. You were the youngest, but I made you the king. I set you on the throne, amen, over my people. Everybody say, my people. Hey, when the Lord sets you over his people, that's something special. I'd rather be over his people than over any other people. That's right. There was a pastor that went to Abraham Lincoln to see if he had a place in his presidential cabinet that he could work in. And the president said to him, he said, when God makes you a pastor, don't stoop to be a king. When God puts you over his people, there's no greater honor. And there's no greater responsibility. And there's no greater accountability than to be over the people of God. Sunday school teachers, when God puts you in a Sunday school class, those are children, but those are God's people. Amen. Whatever you're doing, if you're in a place of leadership, you're over God's people. You be careful how you exercise authority over God's people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, all of us, we just need to be careful how we speak to God's people. Woo! Let me just take this a little further. I'm going to get in all kinds of trouble, but I'm sure going to have a little fun while I'm doing it. Amen. Did you know that if your husband and your wife, your mate, if they're a Christian, that that's God's people? And you tear into them, lashing them with your tongue, you better be careful. That's God's people you're dealing with there. Those children, that's God's people you're dealing with there. You get to gossiping about your brothers and sisters. Nobody does that here, but I've heard places where they do. That's God's people you're dealing with. And you're going to get on God's fighting side when you start messing with His people. You having trouble? You might want to take a look at how you've been talking about God's people. Amen. Thank you, brother. That's real good. I appreciate you telling me that. Amen. All right. Didn't know that was in Sam Lee, did you? But it's here. Amen. So he said, I put you over my people. I made you ruler. But I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy side, and have made thee a great name. If I say a great name, likened to the name of the great men that are on the earth. And I'm telling you, here we are several thousand years later, we're still talking about David. You talk about a name, we're still talking about him. And when people call their kids David, a lot of times it's because they of David. They still remember that. Now, there's a lot in the name, isn't there? Amen. Who would have thought that when Paul stood before the great emperor Nero, that Paul would be remembered and people would call their kids Paul and they'd name their dogs Nero? What a change. What a change. Amen. But we're still talking about David because God gave him a great name. Moreover, I'll appoint a place for my people Israel, and plant them, and they shall dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And since the time that I command the judges to be over my people Israel and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. So the Lord said to David, he said, I've been with you. Everybody say the Lord was with David. And thank the Lord he's with me. Amen. I'm glad he's with us. How about it tonight? Do you believe the Lord's with you? Do you believe God can cut off your enemies? I'm telling you he can. Amen. As a matter of fact, I want you to know something tonight. The devil and your enemies are on a leash. God let them go so far, and that's as far as they're going to go. They can't go any further because God cuts them off. He said that's the limit right there. Amen. You can do this, but this is as far as you can go. Amen. Satan wanted to destroy Job. God said you can touch his body, but you can't take his life. You can take his stuff, but you can't take his life. God said, I'm going to put you on a leash here, Satan. You can go so far, but that's as far as you're going to go. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said, I'm going to make you a great house. And he did. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he established David's kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And God made him some more promises. Verse 12, he said, when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Listen carefully. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. He said, David, I said no to you. I'm going to say yes to your son. I'm not going to let you do it. You see, each of us has gifts and talents and abilities that are unique to us. And God uses you in certain areas. Amen. Sister Gibbon, talking to her yesterday, and she said, the Lord and I said, we got our own way of communicating. Amen. She said, the Lord and I, we talk through numbers. Anybody else here talk to the Lord through numbers? I don't. But she does, and it works for her. Amen. And I said, Sister Gibbon, it don't matter how you talk to him, how you communicate, as long as you're communicating. If that's your system, get with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. As long as you have a personal relationship with him, it works. And so the Lord said to David, He said, I'm not just gonna let you live a few years. He said, but after you die, he said, I'm gonna establish your throne and your kingdom. And that's exactly what he did. And he said, your son is gonna build me a house. And that's exactly what happened, wasn't it? His son Solomon, when he became king, he built a house for the Lord. You know, something I find very interesting, I've thought about this several times. How long did it take Solomon to build God's house? You might remember. It took 7 years with thousands and thousands and thousands of workers. It took 7 years to build God's house. You know how long it took to build David's house? 13 years. Almost twice as long. I think he finally, just like a lot of people, he said, that's enough. Hey, man, my Lord, how much more house do I need? May his tribe increase. Amen. Praise, how much house do we need anyway? Amen. So David, his son, built a house for the Lord. Amen. But I want to take just a moment here to talk about his other son that came a little bit later down the road. Amen. You remember that one we called Jesus? He was a son of David too, wasn't he? Hey, and I want you to know he's still building a house. Praise the Lord. It's called the church. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then to the church he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. And he's been building that house a long time. Woo! Hallelujah. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Amen. So Solomon built him a house, and then Jesus built us a house. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So what do you do when the heart says yes and God says no? I think we can learn a good lesson from David. Verse 18, then went David in and sat before the Lord. Everybody say, just sit down. When you don't know what to do, that's a good thing to do sometimes. Amen. Sometimes we want to get on the telephone and talk about it. Sometimes we want to run. Sometimes we want to just get all busy and forget about it. Sometimes we try all kinds, but David just went and sat down before the Lord. And listen, he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? So David said to the Lord, first of all, he said, I know where I came from. David never forgot that he was a shepherd. David never forgot where the Lord found him. He never forgot that it was the hand of God that brought him up and put him where he was. And folks, it's good for us to never forget where he found us. Don't forget where you came from. If God blesses you and places you in some great place, don't you forget where you came from. And don't forget how you got there. Amen. Praise the Lord. So David, first of all, he maintained his humility. He remembered who he was, and he remembered how he got to where he was. Amen. He didn't get to thinking that he deserved everything. Well, this may not be what we want to hear, but we live in a day when people talk a whole lot about their rights. This is my right, and that's my right. This is my right. That's my right. Amen. I'm afraid that we've got so much into that that we, if we're not careful, we'll lose our sense of gratitude. I said we'll lose our sense of gratitude. We get to thinking somebody owes us something. Amen. And we'll lose our sense of gratitude. We need to be thankful to the Lord. Don't ever lose your gratitude. Don't ever lose your sense of thankfulness. Amen. Praise the Lord. God, help me to always be grateful. Help me to always be thankful. Help me to always be humble. Amen. I'm not talking about talking humble. I'm talking about being humble. Could I define humility for you? Humility is not thinking little of yourself. That's inferiority. And that's not a good thing. Humility is not thinking of yourself at all. Did you know it would be impossible to offend somebody that's not thinking about themselves? Shake your head like this right here. That's right. If you're not thinking about yourself, nobody can offend you. Nobody hurts your feelings because you're not thinking about yourself. But if all you think about yourself, you get a real thin skin. And it's easy to offend you because you take everything personally. God, help us to be genuinely humble. That's why Jesus was never offended, because he didn't think about himself. He said, I came to minister, not to be ministered to. He was always given out to others. His mind was not on getting. His mind was on giving. His mind was not on being blessed, but blessing others. And if we can get that attitude and maintain that spirit, that's genuine humility. One of the greatest stories I read to illustrate this point, and I'll try to tell it quickly, it was Valentine's Day. A little boy stayed up all night making valentines for his class. His mom knew that he wasn't very popular, and she was afraid that he wouldn't get any valentines in return. And so he went out that morning. He was so excited to go to school and hand out those valentines. And he was so excited. And she couldn't hardly wait till school was out to see how it turned out. She saw him coming down the sidewalk, and he kind of had his head down a little bit, and he was mumbling something. And as he got closer to the house, she could hear him. He was saying, "Not one. No, not one." And her heart broke. She thought, he stayed up so late, worked so hard, making a valentine for everybody, and he didn't get one. So she quickly grabbed the cookies and poured the milk and had everything ready when he come in. And as soon as the door opened, he lifted his head up, and a big old smile spread across his face, and his eyes were sparkling. He said, "Mom," he said, "I didn't forget nobody. I gave everybody a valentine. I didn't leave anybody out. Not one." His mind wasn't on what he was going to get. His mind was on what he could give. And that's what you do when God says no. You just stay humble and say, all right, Lord, if that's not for me, I'll pray for whoever's going to do it. Amen. I'll help whoever's going to do it. And then David was obedient. Amen. Look at verse number 27. He said, for thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And David begins to pray a beautiful prayer here. He said, and now, O Lord God, thou art God, and thy words be true. And thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. So David says, I just want your blessing, God. That's all I want. Amen. David had a sense of obedience. David had a sense of gratitude. When the Lord says no, just let it be no. Amen. And then you find a place to work, or just, you know what I've found how to do the will of God best? It's worked for me for 40 plus years. Is just keep doing what God tells me to do something else. It's always worked well. I don't look for some place to go. Amen. I don't. But if He tells me to go, I'm gone. But I'm not looking for anywhere to go. Amen. I just start working. Amen. And when I was a young person, I loved to work for God. I did. Amen. I loved to mow the lawn. I loved to clean the church. Amen. I loved to go on bus ministry. I loved to go on visitation. I just loved to work for God. Amen. And I never thought I'd get to be a preacher. Who ever heard of a preacher called Grissom anyway? Amen. But you know what? The Lord actually called me. Amen. And I was so excited. I didn't think I'd ever get to do this. Praise the Lord. I preached so badly. One time they gave me an offering and I gave it back. Last time I ever did that. But I did do it one time. Amen. Now I feel bad and I say, well, Lord, I'll do better next time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you just keep doing what you know to do. Somebody said, I'm looking for the will of God. I'm going to tell you the will of God. The will of God is for you to be faithful to Him in church. Be faithful in your worship. Be faithful in your prayer. Be faithful in your giving. Be faithful in your witnessing. Be faithful in everything that you... The Bible said, whatsoever your hands find that do, do it with all of your might. Just do what you know to do. And then He'll open up something else for you to do. Praise the Lord. And then when He gets through with that, He'll open something else. Amen. But you know what? I've been doing this a long time now. But I still clean the church sometimes. I still clean bathrooms sometimes. I still mow lawns sometimes. I haven't outgrown that. Hope I never do. Amen. You see, in the kingdom of God, I don't just graduate. I get to do it all. Amen. Somebody went to one of our wise elders and he said, I really think God's calling me to ministry. And the pastor said, all right. He took him to the janitor's closet and he got a pail out and some soap and some water and some brushes. And he said, go clean the bathrooms. Amen. And you know what? He did. And today he's superintendent of the Texas district, the South Texas district. Pastors a large, thriving church. But he started out cleaning bathrooms. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if he hadn't cleaned a few since then. Amen. We got to remain humble in the kingdom of God. Stay obedient. That's how you keep your heart right when God says no. Amen. Praise the Lord. Gratitude. David was thankful to the Lord. He began to remember where God brought him from, what God had done for his life. Amen. How in the world, folks, could we ever get down on God when He's brought us up so far from where we started? Amen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate the attitude, the spirit of David. He stayed humble. He stayed obedient. He stayed grateful. That's how you protect your heart. And God says no. God brought Israel to the border of the promised land. And he said, go over and possess the land, for you're well able. The Lord said, I will go before you. And Israel said, no, we're afraid. We won't go. They turned on their leadership, threatened to kill Moses, and began to blast him and blame him because of the bringing them out there in the middle of the desert to die. All the things they said. But you know what? The next day, they got up and they said, they felt a little better. They said, well, let's go over and do it the next day. And God said, no. They went anyway. And they got a bunch of people killed. They came back with their tail between their legs because God said no. When God says no, don't you go. Amen. If it's his time and his plan, go. Until he does, you stay. God has a sense of timing, and it's very sensitive sometimes. Very sensitive. Amen. Let me just show you one more thing that David did, and I'm getting ready to close out here. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 22, I'm sorry, 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse number 1 through 5, David said, he said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he sent masons to hew out stones to build the house of God. David said, I can't build it, but I know where to get the stones that will build it. And so while he was living, he sent some people out, and he said, let's start carving these stones out. Boys, we're going to need these one of these days. Amen. Hallelujah. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance for the Zidonians, and from they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. The house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. David said, I may not be able to do the building, but I'm going to give an offering. I'm going to do everything in my power to give it the support that I can. If God says no to you and yes to somebody else, get behind them. Help them build. Amen. That's the will of God. That's how we respond when God said no. Amen. First of all, check your motive. Why do I want to do this anyway? One little boy told his mom, he said, I think I'm going to be a preacher when I grow up. She said, really? Why do you want to be a preacher? He said, I'd a whole lot rather be up there talking than out there listening. Well, that's the wrong motive. That's not the right motive. Amen. But he had an idea, but that was not the right motive. Amen. Check your motive. Check your spirit. Are you doing it with the right spirit? Are you doing it with humility? When you get up to sing a song, why are you singing? Who are you singing to? We were at Bible college, I remember. And our students would go out, and we were real nervous, you know, standing up in front of people for the first time. One of our singers said, everybody please worship me while I sing. What she meant was worship with me, but she left out the with. I've seen some folks sing, and that's really what they meant. Amen. They really meant worship me while I sing, because that's obviously who they were singing to. Amen. You're going to sing, you sing unto the Lord. Whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. Keep your spirit humble. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Be submissive and obedient to the Lord and to leadership. Amen. Be supportive and cooperative with the body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is good stuff. You know it? Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, if somebody's put over a project and you volunteer to help, amen, don't argue with them. If they say, I want you to serve the beans, and you say, but I always serve the potato salad. Well, it's beans today. It's not much different. Just get a spoon, dip them, put them in the plate. It's really not all that big of a deal. But you know what I'm saying? Now, some people, but I've always done this. Well, it's an opportunity to learn something new today. Amen. You can go home smelling like beans instead of potato salad. Amen. Just work for the Lord. Praise God. When somebody else gets there and does something, you just find something to do. Amen. Don't get your feelings hurt because somebody else is doing what you always do. But I've always done that. Well, so what? Praise the Lord. One time we had somebody sitting on a pew here. One of our guests came in and got that pew before they did. They came in late and asked the guests to move. That's ridiculous. Number one, get there on time. These pews don't have any names on them that apply. We got some names on there. People donated them, but that's just who donated it. Doesn't belong to them. Amen. You want a good seat, you get there early. And you park until service starts. You move, amen, you lose. Amen. Somebody else gets it, that's their seat. Get there earlier next week. We may start getting folks early to church here if we just keep this up. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when the heart says yes, God says no. Amen. It's all about your motive. It's about your attitude and your spirit. It's about your cooperation. It's about humility. Martha Nicholson said in 1946, one by one, he took them from me, all the things I valued most, until I was empty-handed, every glittering toy was lost. And I walked Earth's highway grieving in my rags and poverty till I heard his voice inviting, lift those empty hands to me. So I held my hands toward heaven and he filled them with the store of his own transcendent riches till they could contain no more. And at last I comprehended with my stupid mind and dull that God could not pour his riches into hands already full. That's right. How can God give you something in your hand if your hand's already full? Amen. But if we have empty hands, God can fill them. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we give it out, God can put in more. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time and for your attention here this evening. Amen. Sometimes God says no even when my heart says yes. I've been there. If you'll think with me, perhaps you've been there too. Amen. There have been things I wanted to do that I didn't get to do. And there have been things that I didn't really want to do that I got to do. But you know what? In the doing, I found joy. And I found blessing. And I found strength. Amen. When I stepped into things, roles that I didn't really want to step into, God said, yeah, that's where I want you right now. Amen. And we grow there. When I was in Bible college, I didn't join the missions club because I didn't want to be a missionary. But you know what? I knew I was going to. Amen. Praise the Lord. I knew I was going to be just about from the time he filled me with the Holy Ghost, I just didn't really want to be. I talked to a wise man of God one time and told him about my fears. He said, son, he said, you just be willing. He said, just because you feel that doesn't really mean you're going to be one. That just means that he wants to know if you're willing. So I surrendered and I said, all right, Lord, I'm willing. Don't make me one, but I'm willing. Well, they elected me to be president of the missions club. And they elected Rachel Caldwell to be secretary of the missions club. And in time, Rachel Caldwell became Rachel Grissom. And in times, the Grissoms became missionaries to Columbia, South America. And some of the greatest years of our life were spent there. When you do the will of God, just open yourself. Don't be afraid of anything. Amen. Just say, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. I'll need your help because I sure don't know how to do it, but I will do it if you open the door. Now, I'll give it the best that I can. That's all you got to do. And God will do the rest. Amen. God's been good, hasn't he? Hasn't he been great? Praise the Lord. God's been so good to us. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't we just talk to him here for a minute tonight? God, help me tonight. I know a lot of times I want to do things. My heart says yes. And then in prayer, I hear the Spirit saying, no, no, no. That's not for you, or that's not for now. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Because you know what I need. You know what's best. You do. Amen. You do. You know what's best for us. You know where I can work the best. You know who I work the best with. You know what you have designed. What's good for my life and what I can do for somebody else. You know. You understand much more. You can see the end from the beginning. So I ask you to help me and lead me and help me just to be submissive. And when you say no, say okay. Then what? Amen. If I can't do that, let me keep doing what I'm doing or send me to do something else. But whatever you do, don't ever leave me alone. I want to work for you till you come. I want to be involved until the trumpet sounds and calls us away. Amen. God, I want to be used in the kingdom of God. I don't want to be idle. I don't want to be sitting. Amen. I don't want to be discontent. Amen. I want to be busy working for the King. Praise the Lord. If I can't build the house, I'll support those that do. If I can't be a missionary, I'll send somebody that you called. Amen. God, anything you tell me to do, I want to do it the very best that I know how. Teach me. Help me. I pray today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise.